Groucho Marx famously once said, never follow a kid or a dog. There's good reason for that. I don't know how you get anything better than what you just saw. I know how happy it makes me every year to see that. It just is a testimony to the wonderful goodness of God, the joy of this season, and the glory of our Lord. He shines forth upon our hearts to hear those young people. So we greet you with greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And on this fourth Sunday in Advent, we read from Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And we read from verses 19 through 22. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 19 through 22. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we thank you for this wonderful day in which we celebrate the birth of your Son, Father, and we await his return eagerly. We pray, Father, that you would grant to us the hearing of your word, the understanding of your gift, that, Father, in all things your name would be hallowed and glorified. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word indeed is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. As Paul begins this section, we recognize right away that he doesn't mean it. He's indicating something very clearly that's contrary to what he knows to be true. He says that if it were only in this life that we had this hope, he said, then we are all miserable. But he says, that's not the case. He says, we have a hope, a promise that is very, very, very great, that cannot be undone, which is why we're not miserable. You kind of look like you are. And that's just the way it is with coming to church. But we're not miserable. We have been blessed with the joy that's unspeakable. We have been blessed with the promise. And when we see the young people do this, it kind of like brings this reality to us. You see, God doesn't critique us. God loves us. And it's foundational to understand that. God does not critique us. He loves us. For all that we hear from those young voices, and we know that we really enjoy that. We really like that stuff. It just like gives you a really good feeling. And you sit there and you hear that and you think about it and you think about how wonderful it is. And you realize very clearly that's exactly the same way that God sees every one of us. He doesn't critique us. He loves us. He's not evaluating our performance. He's not sitting out there, you know, keeping track on a list of 1 to 10, you know, and saying, you know, well, that was an 8 or something like that. The reality is that God, for Jesus' sake, has received us as his own. And he loves us. And he has declared us to be holy and acceptable in his sight. And this, in reality, is what Paul is talking about. He says, If we didn't have that hope, if we only had that hope in this life, he says, then we would be miserable. And those kind of frowns that we wear when we go to church, you know, would look normal. But the reality of things is that that's not the way things are. There is a joy that is unspeakable that comes in the knowledge of knowing the baby who was born in the manger, who was placed in the manger. The baby who rose up and became a true human being and lived a true human life and showed us what it really meant to be human. That baby that grew up and suffered and died and rose again for us to indicate very clearly how much God loved us. This is what Paul is talking about. Since by a human being, everything that would work misery to us in death came to us by a human being. He says it's only right that through a human being, one who was born in the strangest of ways, that there would come the resurrection of the dead. That he would raise us to newness of life. And that really ought to make us happy. Because as he says very clearly, he says, as in Adam, all die. He says, in the origin of the human race, he says, all have to die. He says, in Christ, he says, in the same way, shall all be made alive. Oh, geez. It is tough to get church people to smile. It's just like been the whole goal of my life. To understand very clearly, this is the most joyous thing that can happen in life. God has received us as his own. He's not critiquing our performance. He already knew that we wouldn't work out that great. But he turned around and he gave us the gift that is unspeakable, that really can't even be put into words. He gave us Jesus the Christ. He gave us life. We talk about these candles, faith, hope. We have joy. Joy is the third one. Joy and peace. Peace. We have peace. We have a peace that transcends human understanding. We have a peace that goes beyond our daily existence. We have a peace that tells us through the finished work of Jesus Christ, we are immortal. We are immortal. Even though the flesh will die, that we will live with him forever. We have this tremendous promise that we will join in the heavenly chorus, that we will join in those voices who sing the hymn of praise for eternity, for the finished work of God. And I earnestly believe that God will stand up amongst us like we stand up and look at these kids, that he'll stand up amongst us and a big smile will be on his face. And he will receive our praise and our glory. And he will receive the gift of our worship because he loves us. And we know his peace. We know his peace. And this should make you happy because I'm almost done. That's the one thing that makes church people happy. Make it short. People are, oh, okay. Now I can smile. Because there's really nothing else left to say. Jesus said it all. He paid it all. And he gave it all to us. So that we would enjoy his peace. My back's bad. That's not why it's short. That would never stop me. My back's bad, so I'm not going to greet you at the door. But receive God's peace. Know his peace. Don't just make it like some secret handshake. Receive God's peace. Know you have his peace. The peace of the Lord keeps us and sustains us all the days of our life. And in peace, he will receive us. In peace, we will live forever. And glory be to his name for that great, inestimable gift. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the voice of each of those little ones. We thank you, Father, for their willingness to do this. We thank you for all the people that put it together. But we thank you most of all, Father, for the gift of your Son. And we do wait, Father, earnestly and expectantly for his return. And we know, Father, that we may do so in the greatest of peace. For you have given us everything. Everything, Father, and may that joy fill our hearts eternally until, Father, we see you face to face and we can thank you as we ought. For Jesus' name's sake, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.